Our forecast for today calling for rain mixing with snow at times, and we'll have a high only in the low 40s. Has nothing to do with the election, but Tony Romo, as you know, is leaving his job of playing football to become a full-time broadcaster of football games. Says he's doing so on his own. Says retirement just the right decision at this point. Talking to reporters in a conference call that he's excited about the challenge that lies ahead.
I'm going to have to improve and improve quickly. And, you know, that's kind of exciting. The competitive aspect of that gets me, excited to get up and go attack it. And I hope that I'm able to make the CBS family proud of their decision.
Says he's going to approach the new job just like a football game. And he admitted that the Houston Texans were atop his list of potential teams if he had kept playing. Sturtevant's Village Board is set to meet on Thursday night. The agenda has an addition now, a closed session with the Planning Commission on the conditional use permit for Racine Unified's Real School, and the district saying it will go to court over the current stalemate. At issue, the village wanting to recoup at least some of the lost tax base. Unified wanting to start the build-out this week under a plan to open up the school in the Sportsplex building this fall. The village's list of conditions includes the need for written permission on special events and late-night activities, which Unified says is the district's call, not the village. The Real School right now is housed in Caledonia. In Kenosha Circuit Court, it was emotion-filled and tense. Andrew Obregon sentenced to the mandatory life prison term without the chance of being released on a murder conviction, also given time concurrent to that in a spree from a year and a half ago that included several high-speed pursuits with law enforcement. Obregon said it all began with the robbery of his nephew and police not making an arrest. The attorney for Obregon, Christine Watson, said that things just spiraled out of control after he got into a fatal confrontation with the murder victim, Tywan Anderson.
At that point, Mr. Obregon was running on adrenaline, fear, panic, and unfortunately a crack addiction. He was afraid of a lot of different things at that point. He was afraid of Mr. Anderson's family. They had made threats to his family at his mother's farm. He'd had some encounters with him when he was in the community, and they had chased him through town. He was afraid of going back into custody. There was a lot going on, and I think it all just started to spiral out of control very quickly.
Watson adding that Obregon had a strong flight response when faced with difficult situations. Charges in Racine County Circuit Court of first-degree intentional homicide and armed robbery filed against two men, 20-year-old Victor Guardo, 23-year-old Isaac Jackson, brothers, referenced the robbery of the Little Caesars Pizza Shop on Durant Avenue last week, during which one of the employees was pistol-whipped. Both men scheduled to be back in court next week. Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmaling joining crime victims' rights advocate Terry Jendusa-Nicolai for the unveiling of a package of Republican-proposed crime initiatives to better help those individuals under what's called Marcy's Law.
We've come a long way. We truly have. But there's still work to do. There's always work to do. And I believe that this will really help victims.
Jendusa-Nicolai herself surviving a near-death domestic violence attack several years ago. The package of constitutional rights for victims of crime, similar to what's been passed in several other states. Kennel Manufacturing has a plant in Kenosha at 10200 55th Street. Last night it was evacuated due to a fire reported in a laser machine producing a significant amount of smoke. On-scene reports had the employees trying to put out those flames with extinguishers before city crews got there. Another engine company was then requested along with what are called airboats to ventilate that building once the flames were extinguished. Some surprises in Racine County's election results from yesterday. In Mount Pleasant, the village president is going to be Dave DeGroote. In Sturtevant, the new village president, Jamie Hoffman. Aldermanic District No. 3 in the city of Racine, John Tate defeating incumbent Mike Shields by just 5 votes, and a recount is likely. Elmwood Park Village President Kathy Wells taking over there, while Caledonia Village Trustee is going to be Jay Burkowski. He defeated Dave Pratt. In Kenosha County for Circuit Court, the judge, Jody Meyer, as well as Kenosha Unified, the incumbents Dan Wade, Gary Kunich, and the Salem School referendum was approved. Meanwhile, the Burlington School District referendum, all 3 questions lost. For the Yorkville referendum, that also lost. On the City of Racine referendum, that was approved by a wide margin. Implementing an economic development communication strategy for the City of Racine, the Development Office, and the Redevelopment Authority, that's going to be coming through Milwaukee-based Brannigan Communications. Development Director Amy Conley said consultants, market analysts, and others have noted the lack of information about city development efforts with a specific website and through social media.
There really needs to be a city-oriented website that addresses, if I'm a business in Racine, where can I get all the information about how to start a business? What are the demographics? What is the market trade area? Where do I go for permits? What are all the permits I might need? Where do I go for help and assistance? And then promoting and marketing Racine, branding us as a really good place to do business.
She said it's time to talk about not just what we're doing, but also how we're doing it and trying to reach people. RDA Chairman Greg Helding, who knows a thing or two about websites, supported a separate page and minced no words when he said, frankly, the city's website is junk.
I don't know why it's so clunky, why stuff's not where it's supposed to be, why links are broken. I just don't know. I was a source of consternation for me when I was on the council, and now that I'm off as a taxpayer, when I want to, I still know how to get to like a couple of key things. You know, I can find out if my property tax bill is paid or look up something. But the Legistar part of it is kind of weird. I don't know. Yeah. And to me, even if we had like a sort of a sub area on there, just people getting to it would be difficult.
Yeah. The goal is to get the website up and running in a few months, the communication strategy in place by year's end. The Burlington Common Council meets at 6:30 tonight in Committee of the Whole. Then it's the regular business meeting, and on the agenda, a resolution authorizing $5.4 million in bonding for the new swimming pool project, an ordinance to repeal a chapter in the city code on the licensing of jukeboxes, and a closed session on possible acquisition of the Knights of Columbus building on East State Street, and a proposed joint government center and open session to follow. And Pleasant Prairie Police soon going to be wearing body cameras to be purchased by a new citizens group.
The department recently completed field testing body cameras, a project that began last July. During that process, officers utilized two models, the department selecting Safariland ViewU cameras for purchase. With the financial assistance of the new group, the Pleasant Prairie Police Officer Appreciation Association, the department will be able to purchase 31 body camera units, enough for each officer. As part of the testing process, the department drafted a policy for the use of the new cameras. It will be available for public review once the cameras are put into service. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Tonight, the Racine Common Council will meet at 6 o'clock in Committee of the Whole to discuss the process for choosing the next mayor. On the heels of John Dickert's announcement, he'll be leaving this summer for the top job with the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. Nothing can officially happen until he resigns, and once that occurs, the council can then decide on a special election. During the interim, the president of the council would first be the acting mayor, then the interim mayor. A decision will come this month on just who will be the council president, and that takes on now greater significance. Current president Dennis Weiser says he wants to seek the title for a third straight term. Alderman Mike Shields had indicated he would be a candidate, but of course he lost his re-election bid by 5 votes in Tuesday's election, though a recount is likely to come. In Milwaukee County, nearly three-quarters of the votes from Tuesday were against a referendum question asking if there was support for a $60 wheel tax to help pay for public transit costs and transportation projects. Oh, and take note of a major ramp on I-94 in Milwaukee County closing for about a month this weekend. The Highway 100 entrance ramp to 94 eastbound expected to be closed for the rest of April beginning Friday night. It's part of the Zoo Interchange project with several alternate routes to be available. A man who was the subject of an intense manhunt that stretched from Pleasant Prairie to Mount Pleasant in February arrested. 21-year-old Edward Bex fled from a relative's home February 15th. He'd been accused of stealing $4,600 through the fraudulent use of a credit card. Police said he threatened to harm himself rather than return to prison. After searching the area near that home without results, the search moved into Mount Pleasant where Bex lived. He was finally arrested on Monday. He was in court yesterday. Kenosha resident Thomas Rutschick looking at more time in prison. He pleads guilty to a charge of hiding a corpse. He's 62 years old, accused of leaving Rihanna Gatone's body in a 31st Street alley back in January. She had died of a heroin overdose in his home. He'll learn his fate May the 15th from Kenosha Judge Mary Kay Wagner. Rutschick now incarcerated from a probation revocation in relation to a burglary back in the 1990s. And Wisconsin ranks 8th on the list of best and worst states for millennials. From the finance and lifestyle website WalletHub.com, which has North Dakota number 1, West Virginia dead last. Our forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.